Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very special guest, Christopher Robert Pittman. Christopher is actually an investigator of over 7 years in the paranormal. He started with several good friends of mine, actually, that had taught him quite a lot after watching some television and so forth. And he's currently doing a lot of other things in investigation right now. So welcome, Chris. I'm glad you made it.
Hey, Chris. How are you? Glad you invited me on your show.
Well, you know, I've been meaning to get to you on. We've known each other for a little over a year or two now, and haven't really had a chance to sit down and chat on the radio. So,
absolutely.
So, what got you into the paranormal, Chris?
Well, like everything else, you know, TV started me actually getting into the paranormal because, you know, you watch it and then you get the idea of, oh, I want to go out and do that to see what I can get, and find out that it's just a bunch of ratings.
Yeah, television is actually, I mean, it's great to watch. I have a lot of respect for most everybody that's on the television shows. I know from talking to many, many of them that it's a very hard job, and they do try to keep it as real as possible. But at the end of the day, it all narrows down to the fact that people have to keep watching, and if you give them something boring, they're not going to watch.
That's very true. It's very, very true.
So when you were out on your, I guess I should just ask, what was your first actual official investigation where you decided, hey, look, you know, I need to get to know a little bit more here, and I'm just going to do this?
Well, my first initial investigation was at some train cars that Ron Cross invited me out, and it was one of Gordon's properties. Before all the bad stuff happened, I'm not going to go into that. And we went out there with my cousin and a couple of other friends, you know, just to kind of see what we could get. You know, brought some recorders, a camera, and didn't really catch nothing. But that was back in 2011, I believe. And then, that's basically it as far as my first initial investigation. Yeah, just kind of hang out and see what happens.
You know, you brought up a very valid point right off the bat that I talk about quite a lot, as we all know. Anybody that knows me knows, rather. Some of the listeners that are out there probably don't know, but I talk about it quite a lot. Is you can bring all the gadgets in the world, and it always amazes me how those few people on YouTube or on television or so forth, they always seem to get something at location, yet they can never explain why that happens.
It must be paranormal.
Yeah, it's most definitely paranormal. Listeners, just so that you know, the reality of the paranormal is you're not going to catch something in every location. Your odds are most locations you go to throughout your career, you're probably not going to get much. But it's those few times that matter.
Yes, that is true. It's just like Ron Cross would always teach me. You know, he had a saying. Most of the time, it's like fishing. You're going to sit there a long time, and you ain't going to catch nothing. All of a sudden, out of a blue moon, you might catch something and get lucky. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's about as fun as watching paint dry. But it can be entertaining, you know, especially whenever you do get activity.
And we had a conversation, Ron and I, once about that, and it turned out, it ended up being enthused on a little bit, which I'll never forget. It was humorous as all get out. You're sitting out there for hours at a time trying to fish to catch something, and if you're lucky, you're going to get a handful of bluegills, but you never get the bass.
You might as well throw a net out in the sea. I mean,
it's a unique field, I will tell you. So you started off and you didn't get much of anything. How many investigations did you go out with Ron and his team on before you decided to kind of, you know, jump off and do a few things on your own?
Excuse me. Well, investigating with Ron, I mean, honestly, I've known Ron for many years. I've known Jack for many years. Haven't really been on very many investigations with them. I mean, the only time I've ever been anywhere with them as far as investigating goes would be their site at the long-term research site in Guthrie, and that would be to train myself and my team.
And listeners, just so that you know who he's talking about, Ron Cross is the first investigator that he's talking about. Ron's also a friend of mine. Ron has been in the paranormal for, gosh, almost 20, 30 years. He's consulted on major movies, such as White Noise and so forth. And I'm assuming when you're talking about Jack, you're probably talking about Jack Howell. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Also with Jack is another gentleman that's been, he's been in the field for quite a number of years. He's kind of a multitasker, to my understanding. I haven't had the privilege of speaking to him directly, but I hear a lot of great things about him.
Oh, dude, he's awesome. They're both pretty awesome. Yeah, I need to get back into it, but I'm also a member of the Oklahoma Critical Response Team, which Ron is one of the directors for that team. So, I mean, either way, we kind of work together on these things. So it's a great deal to know him. He's done a lot for this community. I'll tell you that. So is Jack.
Yeah, they're very informative. In fact, Ron's taught me quite a lot, along with many, many other people I'm sure you know about, and some of them you may not know about throughout the years, that some are from the UK, some of them are from here. But it's sad, I guess, to say a lot of times that the youngins in the community don't want to listen to people like Ron and people like Jack and people like John Griffiths overseas and the many, many people who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. Because if you don't look, from my experience, I learned a lot from those guys. You know, came in thinking I knew everything. I didn't know squat.
Yeah. Ron will set you straight. That's for sure.
Well, in my field, coming from the research field, and I'd had many, many years of audio, I got fascinated with EVP, and I kind of jumped out and said, okay, I've been behind these books forever and working and asking questions with people and working with I had the great privilege of working with the International Paranormal Research Society for many, many years, but I had yet been on an official investigation. My job was just to go out there, interview the people, make sure they filled out the paperwork, hit record on the camera, and go home.
Sounds pretty legit. Yeah.
Well, they were a bunch of scientists and so forth, and as I'm sure you've probably been told from Ron and a lot of people, they have their own way of doing things, and most of them are very well educated, so I was just kind of like a little salivating baby going, okay, well, just tell me what to do. That's cool. I want to learn. But then I decided to jump out of the research field into books and so forth, and that's when I ran across Ron and everybody when I started to do the social media in, because I was so fascinated with EVP and had such a great audio engineering background. I thought, hey, I'll apply this. And then I found out EVP, my first EVP was a bird.
Well, Chris, you know that EVP is like the number one source that we go to as paranormal investigators for evidence, besides our personal experience. But nobody can prove personal experiences unless it's yourself, you know, that had that experience. However, you know, what I was taught, EVP, it's a 360 degree angle rather than a photographic picture or video that shoots forward. You know, I mean, you get your whole surrounding. You can hear anything from a stomach roller to a pin drop. I mean, EVP has just been one of my best pieces of evidence I have ever known throughout my years of investigating.
We're actually mapping into that a little bit more, which eventually I'll get with Ron on a little bit. We're testing different audio recorders at different frequencies, including some frequencies that we can't hear that other animals communicate on with particular sound, just to see what results we may get. I tell people all the time, when you're doing this, odds are you don't end up with the results you think. We may or may not get anything. Odds are we won't. We're doing it with light spectrum testing, too. I'm actually setting up experiments in the field where you can flash a bunch of different lights at different spectrums and different colors and different variables to see if it can affect the surroundings around us. I don't expect to get anything, but you got to do these things in order to get the answers negative, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Definitely got to get your false positives, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's, science is a big part of it. EVP was the start of the science. Most people have, I don't think people take enough time to actually dig in and understand what electronic voice phenomena is, to be frankly honest
with you. They don't. Most people will assume. I'm not saying about all people, but from my experience with people, there's a lot of them out there that will just assume everything is haunted. Uh-huh. And to my experience, that just gives us a bad name.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when the real EVPs you get, they come unexpectedly a lot of times. Like Octagon Hall, we were just at Octagon Hall about a month ago, and we got an extraordinary EVP, but we did not get it at the time you would think. Now, I always run my recorders, my cameras, everything is continuously running from the moment I walk in, and we got lucky enough to catch that. But we got a response when we were heading up the stairs that responded directly to another team member that was filming with me and while we were setting up the cameras upstairs. And then it continued to respond to me several times that you didn't get until you did the playback. When I played the recorder back and played the video camera back, you could hear it clear as day. We got a gentleman, a woman, and a little girl that were not in the room or anywhere around us. But yeah, it was really extraordinary. It's a first class A EVP I think I have gotten in over 6 years.
I'll tell you the best evidence I've ever gotten, actually, that Jack Howell has ever gotten. If he's listening right now, he's probably going to laugh at this, and so is Ron. But going back to the Mercantile, back in 2011 or 12, one of those 2 years, they kept telling me over and over, and this is a lesson learned, they kept telling me, don't come into our site with a negative attitude. You know, if you've had a bad day, whatever, don't come. Relax, you know, get yourself in an area where you can have a clear mindset and everything. Well, I came one night and I did some stupid provoking and I was not supposed to. I was in a bad state of mind. And I don't suggest this to anybody out there. Do not provoke. Okay. But I was in a bad state of mind. Well, I hear Jack in the control room of the Mercantile, and he goes, whoa! We hear a clash. It was my camera flying off the table onto the floor, almost into an old elevator shaft. Like I said, they're probably laughing at this right now, if they're listening. But they use that, and it's been 7 years since that happened. But they still use that as an example for the teams that, you know, that they still associate with. Don't do what Chris Pittman has done to this day. So,
first time I actually experienced a provocation, I did it quite wrong myself and had some things fly off of a refrigerator towards my head, so I can relate with that a little bit. There's always a time and place to do slight bits of that, but you really have to watch what you're doing, and you have to understand what those slight bits are, because you can't just fly off the handle like you see on TV and tick something off.
Sorry. yeah, that's very true. And it can be, if you do it too much, it can be dangerous too. Not only to yourself, but also to those that are around you, your family, your team, your client, their customers, their people. I mean, it's a horrible thing to do. That's, uh-huh. I would never provoke. I've done it one time. I won't do it again.
Yeah, and again, there are ways to do that that's non-aggressively, but you really have to learn how to do that, when to do that, what to say, yeah, what not to say, and that's something I think a lot of people don't understand as well. The reality of running into these things that are evil are less than 1%. 99.9% of the time you're out there, you're never going to run into a bad thing. But what happens if you do? I don't know about you, but if somebody comes walking into my home and they're yelling at me, and they're cussing at me, and they're ticking me off, I'm likely to react.
That's true. Very true.
So
that's actually a really good example.
let's talk a little bit about some of your investigations, and then we'll kind of roll into a few other things I'm sure you probably have in, on the tip of your tongue or in the back of your mind that you probably want to talk about. But I know you've been to a lot of unique places around Oklahoma and the surrounding areas. So, in fact, you were just at a bed and breakfast a little while ago, and I think you were at a – was it a theater or a pub? I can't remember now, but you just you just went somewhere.
We went out to the Tidewater Winery. But I'm not going to go into that subject because certain things that happened within our team that weren't very good. But, you know, I've been pretty interesting places. Medicine Park, Gold Plantation Restaurant. You know, I've had some really unique encounters there. Rumors that it's a bordello, which I think the owner encountered some of the girls there one night. So I haven't really had much experience with there. I mean, I've heard, like, footsteps, you know. I felt like being watched, but that's as far as it gets over there. Been to the Mustang Historical Society Museum with Tanya McCoy. She invited us out there one time. That was a pretty interesting night. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to get over this cold too. So, like I said, the Mercantile, I've been out there many times. That's the long-term research site. What else have I been to, Shelby? Oh yeah, Guthrie Haunts. That was pretty cool. Hill House Manor in Gainesville, Texas. The Palmer Inn. I mean, there's just so many places I've been to that I can't name off the tip of my tongue, but I know they're there.
I hear the Palmer's actually a really interesting place. I haven't had the privilege of being there yet, but I've known several investigators that have went to the Palmer, and they say that it's a really neat place to go.
Well, we went out there, and what time was that bang that we heard, Shelby? No, Palmer Inn. Yeah, about 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, we're all sitting down in the bottom lobby, and we hear like a big bang and a scratch on the floor, and we went up there to go check it out. There was nothing up there. Nothing fell. You know, it was just perfectly fine. So we get back downstairs, and of course, two of the investigators, they were asking a few questions. They moved off to the stairwell in the kitchen area or dining area, and they kept hearing somebody at the stairway, like a lady. One of them said that they saw a lady, which I don't know if that's true or not, but because I didn't see it, but I mean, it's whatever. As far as the experiences go there.
Well, yeah, I've heard some interesting stories like the one that you just said about it that have made me want to go there myself somewhere along the line. Of course, you know, I've been wrapped up into a lot of projects, and unfortunately, when you're dealing with the projects, you have members come and go, just like teams, and you have to figure out how to do things from scratch. God bless Ron. He's been a great consultant. If he is listening, he's helped me through some pretty rough times at the beginning there to have some good quality stuff. But it's a tough thing. I can relate with you when you say that team efforts sometimes aren't exactly the way you, even though we won't get into it, aren't exactly the way it pans out to be. It takes a long process and a lot of work to come up with that core two or three people that understand how to do things and work with the same goal that you have.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why I trust Ron and Jack with my team right now. You know, they're, as you know, Chris, that my team is on hold till March of next year, and I've got pros in one other person, and I'm not going to mention because she wants, you know, I'm sure she wants to keep her name anonymous right now. But, yeah, I've got them to be training my team right now till March of next year, if not a little later than that, because of all the incidents that, you know, we've had go on.
Well, that's a good thing to do. I know that they're both of them. I don't know Jack personally, but I hear great things about him. And I know I've known Ron for a number of years now. And I can tell you, if he's teaching them, he'll teach them right. I can't talk enough about the gentleman. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he talks highly about you, too. You know, he told me you were the real deal, so...
Well, that's you know, something that I always talk to everybody about, and I'm sure you'll probably agree and enjoy talking about it, is there's a big difference between the paranormal right now, and I've had this conversation with a lot of veterans, and it spans all across, not just the ghost field, but it spans across the UFO field, the cryptozoology field. It's kind of gotten stale because so many people have watched TV for so long that all they want to concentrate on is the next big show. So those grand puppies, so to speak, those people that are the real deal a lot of times, that have spent real time in the field, real time with people in the field that have done real research, real science and so forth, you know, we either back out and just walk away from the whole thing because we're shaking our heads, or we have this consistent battle all the time where people like to want to argue with you and, oh, you know everything, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
When all you're trying to do is tell them, hey, guys. Yeah.
I mean, no matter how long you've been in the field, there ain't a damn person, I'm sorry for using that word, but there ain't a person on this earth that is an expert. I mean, there's people who know, there's people who don't know, inexperienced, and there's experienced. However, there's no experts in this field. I mean...
I like to use the word professional because
the
reality is nobody's ever an expert in anything. You can be well-versed, you can be seasoned, you can be a professional in one particular area and not know squat about the other 15 or 20. So a lot of times I use the word professional. I've been under fire for that many, many times, but I tell people the reality is, if I've only got 3 years of, let's use audio as an example. If I've only got 3 years of audio experience and the guy walks in front of me that has 52 years of audio experience, would I not be stupid to learn from him? to stand there and go, oh, you're a know-it-all. No, you learn from that person because odds are he's been there. He's done that before. He's got more knowledge than you. Somewhere along the line, you may, if you're lucky, surpass that and surprise the individuals. And then they go, hey, you know what? I never thought of that before. Congratulations. Now you're teaching me something.
You know what I love the most? I love, you know, it's not to downgrade anybody. So, but I love looking at some of these teams. Okay. And I do mean some of them. And they're showing how many years they've got. Like for instance, if you've only got 4 years, don't put 14 years on your deal. You know?
Yeah, I can understand that. Or the ones that do have 3 or 4 years and all of a sudden they are professionals themselves. You know, it took me 5 to 7 years just to get a grasp.
Same here.
Yeah, and after 10 years, I knew a little bit. 15 years, I realized I didn't know squat again.
It's like trading wheels.
it's amazing. I run into that all the time. That I get the deal, listeners, just so that you know, anybody that's listening, including any of these teams that may be listening, look, I get the deal. I understand. You know, I am friends with some people that are on television shows. I do know people that are on television shows. They work very hard at it. They started from scratch themselves. They had to come up with the idea. They had to pitch it. Even the actors had to work through the loops. This is the way Hollywood and TV works. You guys want a show. You want attention for that show. You want popularity. You're working hard at it. I understand that. I respect that. Congratulations for doing it. There's nothing wrong with that. But make no mistake. You are not a professional investigator on 2, 3, and 4 years. You're just now getting into the game.
That's true.
Yeah. Trust me, I'll get slack from this from somebody tomorrow, Chris, but let's get into you a little
bit. I'm sorry, Chris.
Let's talk a little bit about the equipment that you use, what you prefer to use when you're out there in the field, why you prefer to use it, and some of the results you may have gotten on it.
I mean, I like to use audio recorders. I mean, I like to place them in certain areas, you know, timestamp them, date them. The coolest one I've gotten, going back to the Mercantile, I've got a little girl saying, help me. You know, and it was clear as day. I mean, that's just best evidence, the best piece of equipment I could say that I like using. I do like using the Spirit Box, you know, every now and then. But because it transmits off of AM, FM, you know, stations, you know, I don't rely on it too much. And then the fact I can't really understand what it comes out of it, or what comes out of it when it does happen. So, video cameras, you know, let's say we're in an area, as a question like, well, you know, would you mind moving something for us, you know, and something falls off a shelf or whatever. You know, hey, we got that evidence to show, hey, there was nobody over there at that time. There was nothing shaken. But, you know, as far as video goes, we recorded something falling off the shelf. I mean, but I don't like to rely on video, and I don't like to rely on photography due to too much pareidolia and, you know, people call it orbs. Quote, quote, they're not orbs. They're airborne particles. Just my view on it. But yeah, that's all I got to say on that, Chris.
It's funny. A lot of people rely on video and photography entirely too much, but I don't think they realize what it was originally designed for. When I first came into the field, And I'm sure you probably heard this from several people. When I first came into the field, cameras were used, but they were used differently than they are today. They were used and set up periodically throughout a home or a residence or an area you were at to start collecting the in-between evidence so that you could decipher things, because you never knew what could be debunked or what couldn't be debunked unless you recorded the whole thing. So right. You'd often see mostly investigators running from room to room rather than standing in front of a camera with a night vision, you know, setting up, moving around, using different test equipment, and then sitting at their stations with test equipment and so forth to try to get an idea for what was really going on. Is this psychological? Is this energy? Is this something we can't explain but we might be able to find and record? You know, there were a lot of scientific things going on at the time. And then once TV came out, and again, I'm not dissing TV, just so you guys know, a couple of you are my friends and you did start these shows a long time ago. But when TV came out, you know, the night vision recorders came out, the nighttime recording, it always happened at night all of a sudden, as opposed to daytime and nighttime. And I can remember sitting diligently doing interviews and then team setting up in the day and sitting with families and locations from 9 a.m. in the morning till 9 a.m. the next morning for weeks at a time trying to find out what's going on. So they were recording possible evidence at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But night vision came out so that you could record what? Yourself. It makes great TV. Mm-hmm. It was used for other things, obviously, way before that. But when major television shows started to use it and put that nighttime effect, and then you get the camera up close when somebody goes, did you hear that? Did you see that? What was that? Hey, man, that makes great TV.
Oh, yeah. I love especially watching those EMF detectors go off while listening to somebody on the other end of that radio saying, hey, guys, did you just make a movement? Or didn't you see that little lights go off? But
what a lot of people don't realize with EMF too that's funny is when you're filming these TV shows, of course the EMF detector is going to go off. You've got a half a dozen film crews in each room.
Right. Not to mention all the generators they have to use to even record the show.
Yeah. I had a gentleman come on last year on the show that's worked with a lot of TV people. He works with Hollywood Ghost Hunters now and Kane Hodder and several other people. And, of course, they filmed themselves through California. And he was very honest about it. You know, TV is a great thing, but you get a lot of contamination. You get a lot of things that will go off. Of course, the pretty lights are designed. People don't realize that a lot of these gadgets you see that you're wasting your money and time on, guys, you know the pretty lights are there because it looks good on camera, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're always going to get contamination because, hey, you might be alone with one film guy in one room, but guess what? The film crew is upstairs setting up for your next scene.
So you're getting activity all over the place.
Yep, absolutely. And it's all the name of the game for television. You put what you can in the show. You try to be as honest as possible with it when you can. And it makes great ratings. But it's not the reality of what you do when you're out there. In fact, I'm sure, Chris, you've probably had many, many times where you went out there and you just didn't get squat.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's just like fishing.
Yeah, just like throwing that reel out there and hoping you get something.
Nope.
Yeah, I know this weather is just terrible. It's getting to all of us, so I can assure you I understand, Chris. I'll take a brief pause. Everybody, you're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States. If you are planning on doing a podcast or if you want to be on digital radio, I do encourage you to go with Donald, go with BBS. BBS is the best. I have to give a personal apology out to members of Generation Truth. Unfortunately, this week we did have a fall in our family, and my wife is recovering from that. She's healthy, listeners, so that you know, and she's having problems moving around with a sprained ankle right now, but she's doing very, very well. But we were supposed to go out and film at a park this weekend that's got some great stuff that we're going to be putting into a documentary. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do that. So my personal apologies to any of my team members that may be listening tonight, because I was excited about it, and I will be rescheduling in the future. A couple of other things to know. Mr. Gavin Kelly has started his own radio country music called WGKC, which is Gavin Kelly Country. That is on WCGT Live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's pretty much all taken over. He's pretty much got all the rights there to the original owners that actually did it. So I encourage you to actually pay attention to that, because it's got some great country music on it. And he's got some wonderful pre-recorded things that he drops on there as well. We're talking to Christopher Robert Pittman. Christopher Robert Pittman is an investigator of over 7 years. He's got a team on sabbatical right now, and he's planning on doing quite a lot of things. We've been talking about a few unique things, but I'm going to hand this over to you a little bit, Chris, and let's just talk about something that's on your mind. What do you want to get out to the public about the paranormal?
Well, the one thing I want to get out to the public is, you know, don't believe everything you see. Question everything you come across. Question your own ability to do something. And the question, you know, just question everything. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know, the stuff that they show on TV, it's for the ratings. Originally, when they first brought, you know, these teams in on these TV shows, you know, they were pretty legitimate teams. You know, they would go out there, they would do all the hard work, set up, and, you know, show the legitimate evidence. But don't believe what you see every time you go out to investigate. I mean, sorry. I'm trying to get over this cold, Chris. I don't know if you got a way of editing that part, but just...
You'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and it's like burning my stomach right now, so I need to get something in my system. If you don't mind.
No, the beauty of radio is you can eat, you can drink, you can do whatever you need to do, and nobody ever sees it because it's not on camera, so you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's a rough one, trust me. I have some friends in the CDC, and they were warning me about the new virus that came out. Unfortunately, I got hit with it myself, and about 32% of Ohio has been hit with it. And listeners, just so that you know, it's not a dangerous virus, but it is a virus that's going to knock you on your butt if you get it. You're going to be down for at least 2 to 3 weeks. You're going to feel awful. You will recover from it, and the easiest route anybody can ever do is tell you to drink your vitamin C, get a lot of rest, and eventually you'll sweat it out.
Definitely.
So one of the things that
cold has put me out of work for 2 days. So.
No, I understand. I was doing 12-hour shifts with my business and trying to do it, and I'll tell you what, I was zonked, man. By about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was hitting the dirt. So I can certainly relate a little bit. One of the things that I think is fascinating about a lot of the work that you do with Ron and probably with Jack, and I'm assuming you probably try to do with your team when you have good team members, is you tend to stick with the logical approach, the logical deductions, the factors of debunking and keeping it very intelligent, and the understanding that real method and real science does apply contrary to what most people believe. And that's all EVP is. I don't think people get that. They like to argue about the fact that science and the paranormal doesn't mix, but all electronic voice phenomenon is science.
True.
And I think that's a very important thing for listeners to take into this. And so the listeners are aware, Generation Truth is actually going to be spending some time on that. We're doing a 12-part documentary called Haunted Excursions. Eventually, we'll be bringing Christopher and some of his crew in. Ron is actually consulting on that. I'm hoping to have him actually do some interviews and so forth. We're putting together some educational pieces in a 12-part series that discusses this a little bit so that people can have a realization of what the real paranormal is.
You know, that would be awesome.
it's been lost. We are lost as a paranormal community right now. We have... Yeah. So many people that have no idea what it's really about. I had the great privilege of working with Justin Brown. Justin Brown and his team, Interface Death, has only been doing it for 5 years. But I got to honestly tell you, he spends a lot of time and effort into the science where most teams just totally ignore it.
Oh, yeah.
It amazes me. I've been out with people that have been in it for...
Part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. I've been out with people that have been in the paranormal, they say, 10 and 15 years. And I was out with one very seasoned individual. It's not any of my friends that are listening, just so that you guys know. But he was a very seasoned individual. He had 11 years into the paranormal. He'd done several paracons throughout the years and so forth. And the first thing that happened when we were out at a haunted location here in Ohio was he and one other team member that claimed to have 23 years just sat down and put a bunch of gadgets out like REM pods and so forth and said, well, here's the way it goes. I just wait. The ghosts come to me. And I'm like,
that's a good terminology.
that really works there. That's the way it really works. Just sit the gadgets out and wait for the ghosts to come. Don't do any science. Don't try to debunk anything. Don't try to do any experiments. Don't try to, you know, actually define anything. Just sit there and look at a handful of gadgets that I can tell you I know the creators of, and they don't work properly in the first place. That makes total sense.
Don't get me to laugh.
It's definitely a field that we've lost our way. Instead of asking the questions that need to be asked, we automatically come to the assumption, and I know you've probably seen it 1,000 times, oh, it's a ghost. Oh, that's a ghost. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Instead of asking the right questions. to be honest with you, we don't even know what a ghost is yet.
That's true. We don't know where aliens, demons, whatever.
Yeah, we have no clue where it's coming from. For all we know, it could be another dimension. It could be another universe. It could be billions of things that we haven't even touched base on or attempted contact with to figure out, because we're stuck on it's a ghost right off the bat. We don't ask any questions anymore.
And the main question that people should be asking is, or actually saying, is it's unexplained rather than it's haunted.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Unexplained. That's what the paranormal is. The paranormal is the unknown. It's what scientifically hasn't been explained yet. And that's another thing I think a lot of people forget is the paranormal runs so deep. Everybody wants to relate it with a ghost, but the paranormal is just, it goes everywhere. It dates all the way back to physical history, you know, ancient hieroglyphs, mechanisms that we found that are hundreds of thousands of years old that look like something we would have created last year. You know, all of these unexplained events all throughout the world, even weather and other phenomenons that we can't quite figure out, that all falls into the realm of the paranormal. But everybody tends to just orient around ghosts, demons, and black magic.
Yeah, that's very true. People just rely too much on TV. I'm just going to put it that way.
Well, it is fascinating. I mean, there's been a lot of good television shows throughout the years. And again, I never knock on the TV shows and never knock on the people themselves, because I think they are very fascinating and they work really hard at it. It's not an easy job. You're on the road all the time. You're trying to get the ratings. You're trying to do your best. You're trying to keep it a reality TV show, which is tough to do when the networks get their hands on it, because they want to feed things. So it's a really tough job. And some shows do it very, very well. With the way the new aspects are going, there's more education coming in.
I'm not trying to downgrade TV or anything like that. I don't want anybody thinking that either. All I'm trying to put out there is, you know, people think just because they see it on TV that they can just go out and try to make themselves famous. They don't need to do that. I mean, they need to leave it to the people that honestly have a somewhat knowledge of the field, and rather than going out there and provoking and, you know, doing a bunch of stupid stuff, you know, they don't need to be doing that. They need to just learn, educate themselves, and then figure out, okay, what's the steps I'm going to take to go do this investigation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I see it. I see too many thrill seekers out there.
I couldn't agree more. You really need to spend your time educating things. The reality of the paranormal is 99.9% of what we do has already been done before. But everybody goes out there and they think they've just discovered it. It's something new. This is something. No, I can tell you that scientists almost 80 years ago have already answered most of the questions that a lot of these young teams are going out thinking that they're looking for right now.
Very true.
You really should. You should dig in. You should learn. TV is great and it's hard work, but it's not the reality of the paranormal. You should learn the science. You should ask questions of the veterans that are out there. And shoot, I wouldn't have gotten this far if I wouldn't ask questions from the senior veterans that have been doing it 20, 30, and some of them 40 or 50 years. I don't see any other way to do it personally, but there's a lot of people that don't do that.
That's true. So is there any more questions for me? Or?
We've talked about a lot of different things. Is there anything that you particularly want to talk about? Anything that you're doing in the future? Anything where you want the audience to find you? I know you probably still dig into a lot of residential cases, so you may want to tell people how to contact you, you know, things along those lines.
Right now, considering our team is you know, physically on hold. There isn't really in any way of contacting us. I mean, I've had to tear down the site and everything else. That's just being honest with you, because we're starting over. But we will be starting out as I did something in dedication to my grandma, who passed away, God rest her soul, last year, August, due to cancer and brain tumor. I did something in dedication to her, in kind of remembrance of her. I'm renaming my team from Oklahoma Paranormal Tracker Society, or OPTS Flatline Paranormal. I'm naming it after my grandma. I'm naming it Rose Marie Paranormal Research Society, because my grandma's name was Rose Marie Freisinger. So this is in honor of her. And that name won't be coming out until March next year, after everybody's trained up.
That's cool. That's actually a good thing to do. And kind of it shows that you've got a good heart. And that's all a part of the passion and drive of what you're doing. And it takes a lot of drive and a lot of passion to be in the paranormal.
Absolutely.
Especially since you do have to retool your teams a lot. I think listeners, I don't know if we covered it or not, but one of the things that you'll realize when you come into the paranormal is teams come and go. They really do. It's just like life. It's just like building a business. I like to use the term creating the boiler room, because coming from a marketing background, when you're setting up a boiler room or a telemarketing room or a business, you go through literally 75 to 100 people to find those one or two core people that are going to stick with you long enough to have a real team.
True. That's basically what we're working on right now.
Nah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I don't envy you. I tend to, within about 3 years of trying to start a team myself, I just gave up on it. I really did. I work with other professional individuals to a seasoned goal, but every one of those individuals do their own thing all the time, and then they just contribute to a larger project.
True. Yeah, I'm figuring if I'm gonna build my team back up, then I'm gonna build it with a reputation that it's just gonna be it's one of those that everybody will want to remember, because it's something special to me.
Well, it's a good start, and you will get your core individuals. I'm sure that Ron's probably talked to you about that, and everybody else has talked to you about that, and it's not easy. We have, in a year, I have created and fired two teams. And then at that point, just it's like, nope, I'm not building another team. I will use other teams when they choose to be a part of my project. They can submit whatever they choose to, and I will just... You know, I'll keep it a group affair, because Generation Truth is all about a group affair anyway. It's about everybody putting together something to show what the real paranormal is about, as opposed to creating a team. Because if you get the wrong people, you've got drama. You've got people that think they know more than the other people. You've got all kinds of things that it's really tough to manage and keep a day job.
Oh, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it is, definitely. It's a lot easier to not have the team, but unfortunately, you can't be a paranormal investigation team if you don't have a team to investigate.
That's true, because you can't go out there by yourself. I mean, you could, but it's the wrong way of doing it.
I don't recommend it either, just because you don't know what you're going to get into.
Right.
And I know that there's a few people say, oh, I do it all the time, but I'd never go out and investigate on my own. It's too dangerous, from the simple things that you could have an accident if you're in the wrong place and it's a terrible home or a dangerous place, to the more paranormal situations, to where, you know, sometimes when you're out there, you need that team member or that other person that's a little bit more seasoned than you, watching you and saying, hey, man, I think you should probably step out. Something's going on here and it's affecting you.
You know, think of it this way. For those that go out by themselves, imagine yourself in an abandoned building, okay? This place is run down. There's debris all over the ground, the walls, whatever. I'm sure you've been there. You step on the wrong board. There's a nail sticking up. How are you going to get yourself to safety?
Yep.
Is that a good example?
That's a great example. It reminds me of the guy that likes to track out in the mountains looking for Bigfoot on his own. Do you think he probably does that? The answer is no, because what happens if you fall off a cliff?
He'd expect Bigfoot to try to catch him.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you're pretty much, if Bigfoot's there and you just broke your leg, well, you can guarantee you're going to be his lunch at least.
Well, I've got my theory on that too, so I'm not going to go into that. I mean, I've never experienced it, so.
We're going to go out and go looking for it just to cover that. I'm actually going to, that and many, many other things. I'm doing a whole piece with cryptozoologists so that they can define the differences between Bigfoot hunters and myth hunters and what cryptozoologists really do. Because there's a massive difference that I don't think people realize there either. Like you said earlier, kind of TV's kind of taken over. They assume a lot differently than the reality of what most of these people that have been in the science for a while are. I'm not a big Bigfoot fan myself. I think it's fascinating, a fascinating culture with people that go out there and look for them. I've had several on my show. I love talking to them. But, you know, I'm in a Bigfoot area in Ohio, and I have yet to see Bigfoot.
But you've had several on your show.
Yep, I've had several Bigfoot hunters on the show, and they're fascinating.
never mind, Chris. That's the best way. You said you never encountered Bigfoot. You said you've had several on your show, so I was being sarcastic, but you've had several on your show, so therefore you've in fact encountered Bigfoot.
There you go. Yep, I'd love to have Bigfoot on my show. That'd be a heck of a show. Could you imagine the ratings on that one?
What was that movie? The guy is he's a Sasquatch or something, you know. It's an old 90s movie.
I'd have to videotape that one. It would be even better if he had a proper British accent, wouldn't it?
Mr. Ed. That would be awesome. That would be pretty epic. I'd want to see it. I'd pay to go see that.
Well, listeners, we're down on our last few minutes of Paranormal Truth and Reality. We've been speaking to Christopher Robert Pittman. I do encourage you to look him up on Facebook here in the next year when he gets his team up and running. He's a wonderful person. He's worked with some very great investigators. So if you guys are actually looking for residential cases when the time comes, make sure you contact them. They'll take very good care of you. Next week's show, we're going to have another amazing individual that's going to be on. I won't release the details yet because I still have to work things out, but I do encourage you to tune in. And we've got an exciting lineup through the holidays, just so that everybody's aware. You are actually going to get a chance to talk to several people from the research societies, as well as a couple of fairly famous names if everything works out right, which is kind of cool. This is BBS Radio, obviously, Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. I'm going to end the night the way I end every single night. I know this was more of a conversation than some of the shows, but as you're learning in the paranormal, a lot of times investigators are human beings too. And the only way that you can actually learn how to do it right is to not only spend the time understanding that we're all human beings and there's no sense in fighting, but to also learn from those people that have been in it longer than you. Because if you don't know what you're doing wrong, how can you ever do something right? So I do want to make sure everybody understands that tonight. Chris brought up some very, very valid points. If you're going to get into the paranormal, TV shows are interesting and it might have spiked your interest. But take the time to research, get into it properly, and ask those people that have been in it for a number of years, not three, not two, not four, but five, but over 10, 15, 20 years, not really even five. And you will learn some very, very extraordinary things. Tag along with them if you can. Spend some time with them if you can. And ask questions. That's the key. I'm going to let you off here. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.